This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 181 for Wednesday, February 24th, 2016. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We cover all kinds of stuff, and today, Lou Page is here. Welcome, sir.
Howdy. How glad are things to be here, since we missed the last time I was supposed to be on.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, obviously you're still on the mend. You're a little foggy and froggy, but still alive, so that's good.
Yes, I'm managing to breathe, so that's a good thing.
Breathing is good. I like to breathe. I find that everyone this year, this time of year, seems to be sick. Podcasters across the board canceling shows. I've got friends that are under the weather. Like, I mean, everybody seems to be complaining on social media that they are sick in one way or another.
Yeah. Not to say weather, but I blame the weather.
Yeah. Broken rule number one. Yeah, I agree. It's all over the place. It's weird. No,
we had a day last week where it was negative 10, and the next day was 60.
Yeah. No, and that's like us too.
It's like, no, that this is why I'm sick.
Yeah. No, it's definitely all over the place too. But global warming is not a thing. Climate change, that's not happening, Lou. That's a conspiracy. Yeah, whatever. All you have to do is live in the same region for your entire life, and anyone can tell you that the climate is definitely changing.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
yes,
man. Is. How are things over on Zombies Ate My Podcast?
Very good. Walking Dead just started back up again, so we've been covering that. Mm-hmm. And Telltale just released a new Walking Dead game, which tonight Ryan and I played through, and we're going to cover on the show as well.
Oh, cool.
It's going to be a lot of Walking Dead talk tonight when we do Zamp.
Right on. And that's going to be live in about an hour and a half, right?
Yeah.
Nice. Yep. So with the Telltale games, I've heard they're really good in terms of the story and the choices that they make you make emotionally. Do you you give like a kind of a spoiler-free kind of quick review?
They are, but this new one that they've released actually takes place in the same universe as the show or the comic.
Hmm.
And you play as Michonne before she met up with Rick and all of them. And it's like an adventure of hers before she met everybody. And I gotta say, it's not being marketed towards video game people. It's being marketed towards fans of the TV show.
Ah, okay.
And so far, it's a mini series. It's not a full thing. And I don't want to spoil too much for Zamp, but I'm gonna tell you right now, wait until all of it is out, because they do the episodic thing. Every month they put out a new chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I would wait until all three are out and read a review before you play it, because so far the first chapter has not sold me.
Okay, interesting.
But the other two series, Walking Dead Telltale 1 and 2, are really good. The first one takes place, you're a guy who's trying to take care of a little girl throughout the story, and then the second one is the little girl trying to take care of herself. And so you play the entire second, I think it's this episode, chapter 2, is entirely from a little girl's perspective.
Hmm.
And you have to make choices, like, do you trust, which adult do you trust? Which way do you go? And you end up, in most cases, being more adult than the adults in the game.
Yeah.
And it's a really unique and interesting look.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Which adult do you trust, Joel? None of them.
Yes. And that's more often than not, that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of wonder sometimes, because I don't, I'm not a huge gamer. Not that I don't like them, but I just don't have a lot of time. And my exposure to indie games and other kind of non like ginormous titles is limited. With a game like that, it kind of makes you wonder, like, to take it to the next level, like, I know that there's horror games out there and different kind of suspense games. It would be really interesting to see a story like that from the perspective of a little girl, but you're the bad guy. Like, you know, do you axe murder, you know, your neighbor's mailman, or do you play hopscotch in the front yard? You know, like I feel like that could be kind of fun.
Telltale has an interesting perspective. Every single one of their games is very story driven. It's more of an interactive story than it is an actual game.
Yeah, it's like choose your own adventure on steroids.
Right, and the one thing I will tell you and warn you now: never play the Game of Thrones one.
Yeah, I think I gave that to my sister and my mother as like a stocking stuffer on iOS one year, and I don't even think they bothered to complete it. Like, I don't think they enjoyed it.
It's the most dismal, dark... Like, Game of Thrones can be dark and dreary, but it always has its moments of, like...
That's the understatement of the century.
Well, I mean, characters die and things happen, but there's always some redeeming character where someone becomes a badass and you go, oh, yes.
Yeah.
And this, the entire first chapter, I don't know about further chapters, because the first chapter was just, it's like you play five different kids and each kid has an awful thing happen to them to the point where like you're in tears by the end of the first kid's story, and it starts with the second kid's. It's like, oh, did you think that one was bad? Oh, watch this. We're gonna make it worse. Mm. And you're like, by the end of the first thing, I literally just stopped. I was just screaming at my screen, and I was ready to give up. And my wife was like, "You need to stop playing this game." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not playing anymore."
Yeah. I find it difficult. I'm very much a completionist when it comes to television series, when it comes to games, when it comes to any kind of task related stuff. Like I've mentioned last week that I'm back playing World of Warcraft. And I mean, like, I'm not spending a lot of time. I essentially have decided to not watch Netflix and other stuff, other TV shows on my lunch breaks. Like, I've just decided, no, I'll have something like soup or a sandwich or something I can eat easily at my desk and just kind of play Warcraft for like half an hour, 45 minutes, just to kind of get my money's worth and kind of further the story. Mm-hmm. And I find it difficult, not to put it down, but to move through the story quickly. Like, I'm a completionist, so I'm completing all of the story in Shadowmoon Valley, you know, and then now I'm on to the next, now I'm on to like the second zone, but I'm already level 95. Like,
see, I will tell you right now, I am a bad gamer. I am severely ADD.
Hmm.
I can't focus on anything for more than a few minutes. I'm awful. I do six things at once. I drive people in my life crazy.
Well, the thing that I find difficult about that for me is that if it's a bad video game, I have a hard time putting it down. Like, I have a hard time walking away from an experience that I'm not enjoying.
Oh, see,
because I'm trying to finish it.
I give things like, if it doesn't sell me in like the first 5 minutes, nope, I'm on to the next thing.
Yeah.
I don't have time to waste.
So we've mentioned this a couple times on this show. How far did you get with Shannara Chronicles before you bailed?
I get to, I think, episode 5.
Okay, yeah. So you and I bailed at about the same time.
Same point, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I have to tip my hat. The festering turd that is Shannara Chronicles, it's not, there are worse television shows out there. I shouldn't really come down so hard on it.
We're not the audience anymore.
The level of disappointment, I guess, I felt. The level of expectation of a fantasy TV show that looked so cool, and then really kind of fell flat for me, kind of tipped the barge over on, I need to cull what I'm watching on television for my downtime and diversify my downtime into maybe reading more, maybe playing some video games with friends. Like, just kind of, I had this bad habit of just like default Netflix or default whatever show I'm, you know, got on demand and trying to keep up with stuff. And it started to get sizable. Like, the list was long. I think we discussed a little bit in the Slack chat throughout the last couple of weeks. Some of the patrons were in there and talking about like what their list is and what is kind of like tops, and then what kind of like filters in there when you're like, well, it's a rainy afternoon. I really haven't caught up on, you know, insert show you don't like that much, but you're watching out of, you know, whatever guilt or feigning interest. You know, you're like, well, okay, I guess I can watch that. You know,
I average about two shows a night, maybe three. Depends on the night and what's going on. Usually it's make dinner, sit down, watch an episode. Okay, that was good. Is there anything else on the list? Yep, there's one more, and then we're out of shows. Okay. And so we'll like do two shows a night usually, and then find something that's turn your brain off and just have in the background, background noise.
Yeah. You know, I tend to watch probably two, usually one show over dinner. And a lot of times I'm still kind of relaxing and digesting and, you know, having a cup of coffee or something like that after my meal. And then I'll watch something else. Tonight it was, I'm not all caught up, so I can't talk about it, but I was catching up on older episodes of Agent Carter.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that was just kind of the thing. And it's nice if I do like, something I like about the Netflix experience is that if you're really enjoying a show and you want more than a 45 minute break, you can just watch the next one.
Right.
And, you know, and you're not, it's not 2 hours, it's about an hour and a half, but it still feels like a, you've done something, you've caught up in a story, you've kind of experienced the kind of thing you wanted to experience. But I prefer watching two of the same show in a sitting as opposed to two different shows.
Right.
You know, or maybe two shows of the same ilk. Like maybe I'm watching Arrow and then Legends of Tomorrow or something like that. Like that.
Yeah.
That feels like a, that feels like an evening, right?
Yeah. I was going to say Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights are usually we watch Agent Carter and Flash.
Yeah.
And that's kind of usually start with Flash and finish with Agent Carter.
Yeah. Yeah. Agent Carter's got a fun flavor to it. And I mean, but, and Flash is pretty upbeat for the most part. Lately, it's been kind of dark, but like it's got that kind of levity to some of the dialogue that kind of goes well with Agent Carter because you've got Jarvis and some other stuff in there that's very, very light. So something that I've been trying to do lately as well is I often listen to podcasts when I'm working out, or when I'm commuting here and there, because I take public transit in the city. So having, you know, a podcast on kind of alleviates the pain of taking a long time to get somewhere. However, lately I've taken upon just some free time, which is weird. I don't know what the hell to do with myself when I have like an hour where I'm just like, wow, I really don't have to accomplish anything for the next like 60 minutes. I've been just sitting and listening. Like I'm not on my phone. I'm not doing anything. There was a day the other day that it was raining and I just sat and listened to the rain and listened to a podcast. And I forgot how nice it is to just unitask, you know, like just, mm-hmm. just do one thing. Cause mm-hmm. I've got my art down pretty good as far as my work flow goes. So I can listen to a podcast and draw, but I'm still not really invested. Like I usually
podcast and do dishes.
That's yes, kind yeah. of my thing. Oh, absolutely. Definitely something I do as well. Yeah. Chores around the house are so much better with podcasts. And that's usually when I listen to things like Tech News Today or something that's very technical, very news oriented, very kind of like headline, a gaming news show, that sort of thing. If it's a roundtable, though, I really enjoyed this just sitting and listening. And I can't remember what it was I was listening to. I think it was Core. I think it was the latest Core about Heroes of the Storm. And what was cool about it is that I don't have time to play the game, so I'm kind of living vicariously through people that do. So it was cool to kind of just listen to, you know, good podcasters talk about a cool game that I like, that I have played, so I can keep up with what they're talking about. But it was nice to kind of just sit down and do that. Are there any shows that are on your list that you're listening to right now?
Okay, a show I used to listen to a couple years ago, and they ended up having to cancel it because the two hosts didn't have time for it, is there's a show called Too Old for This.
Nice.
And the idea is they're both two aging gamers / geeks, and they're into all kinds of weird, geeky stuff. One of them likes beer and talks about brewing beer. One of them likes wrestling and talks about wrestling. And the idea is they talk about their take on, they don't understand these kids and their new hipster technology and stuff. But it's with a tongue-in-cheek sort of motif, and they cover everything. One week they covered, they're starting to do specials where they find topics that them and their friends are familiar with. They did a show last week where they discussed how to go to Disney World and have fun, because one of them has been to Disney World 17 times.
Oh my God.
And he discussed how him and his wife have bought a timeshare at Disney World, and like how, like, you don't go there and try to save money. You go there to enjoy yourself, and if you go there and try and penny pinch, you're going to be miserable.
Yeah.
And here's how you can save money, but don't try and penny pinch.
Yeah.
And, like, they went down over the details of that. One week, they discussed the new Tomb Raider game. And then this week's episode, they discussed how their aging habit is they watch a lot of HGTV and renovating house shows. And, I mean, they cover a little bit of everything, and they have their own Facebook community. Two guys that host it, Chris and Jeff, they used to be part of a video game message board I was on, and they kind of made friends, and they kind of both were aging gamers and decided that they wanted to get their point of view out, and this is kind of their point of view. And they've added a couple of new hosts to the show, so there's four of them. It used to be two of them, and the show is really good. They're about 60 minutes, unless they run over. But,
that's good, though. That's a good size.
But
podcast.
They cover a variety of topics, and it's not something you're going to hear every day.
Right on. I am going to have to look into this. Now, quantify aging gamer, because you and I are different ages.
One of them, I know two of them are in their 40s.
Okay. All right. So I feel...
One of them has a teenage kid, right. And he talks about how his exposure to the things his kids likes and how he's in touch with what his kid likes, so he understands some of what, like, the younger generation is doing, kind of thing.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned the Home and Garden TV thing, and I can't poke too much fun at Peyton because I did watch with him. But the last time I spent any time with Peyton and Lee, I went over there for dinner and, hung out, I think it was at Christmas time, hung out with them and their son. And when everybody had gone to bed, Peyton and I were downstairs sketching in our sketchbooks and watching HGTV.
Yep.
No, and it was all about tiny homes. I mean, it was fascinating. It was really neat.
Yeah,
but I just, like, as soon as you said it, I was like, man, that is exactly what is on that television 24 hours a day.
They spend the entire episode talking about how the show is really not marketed towards them, because every single person that they meet on these house renovation shows or I'm going to buy this new house show, he's like, it's always the same gun. The Weasley slimy guy and the obnoxious woman. And it's always the same, and that you're really not watching for them. You're watching for ideas on what you can do with your house.
Yeah,
you could do without them.
Yeah,
and like, and their take on it is very funny. But they're like, yeah, what else can I do while I'm sitting here playing games on my iPad?
Yeah,
of course I'm watching HGTV. It's nonsense. I don't have to be paying full attention.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what the show was called, but it was all about tiny homes, and it was all about this guy and his little company that puts tiny homes together for people, and. Well, they look cool. I don't necessarily think that they're that functional, especially in the length of time that he puts them together. Like, they might make for a nice little cottage if you want to get away from the city for a weekend or something, mm-hmm. but there's no way that these things are going to stand the test of time. Like, I can understand that tiny homes are a thing and that people make a lifestyle change, but the ones that I see that make sense are the ones that are designed by architects and
yeah.
really well thought out, and they look really beautiful. And this guy did some really cool stuff with found windows and like putting things together that really were quite cheap. It's a sturdy structure, but I mean, none of them, to my knowledge, when I was looking at them, were insulated. You know, like, forget anywhere in the upper part of the Northern Hemisphere, right? I mean, like, none of these things were really going to be that practical long term.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of hype, I find, on HGTV.
Definitely.
You know, I have never been a reality show person, but the one kind of show that I can get behind, though, is like the builder show or the renovation show. I can do
a few of the cooking shows.
Yeah, I can see that.
But, like, I can do Iron Chef,
mm-hmm.
but, like, I'm really picky with them. Like, I don't like all of them, but there's certain ones, and I drive my wife crazy, because when we watch them, I can tell where there's an editor or a producer in their ear telling them to say things, and I'll be like, oh, yep, here we go. The producer's going to tell them at this point that they need to say this so that they can advertise what kind of bananas they used in the thing. And mm-hmm. lo and behold, the guy will be like, and those are Dole bananas, for those of you at home wondering. You know, and she'll be like, how do you do that? And I'm like, I've watched way too much TV.
Yeah. For a Growly Bear, who's coming to us from Singapore in the chat room, is like, HGTV? It's Home and Garden Television.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they have something like that over in Singapore, but I that'd be kind of interesting. You know, you go to a different country, like, you know, you're over in Singapore, you're down in Australia, or even something like Italy or Germany. Those local shows, like those local reality shows about building homes or renovating, yeah. something like that would be really interesting. to see what's happening. Because, I mean, everything on American television kind of looks the same.
You know, it does.
Suburbia is what, because that's your audience, right? Like, I mean, you're trying to pick the house that looks like the one that your audience is sitting in, or the one they want to be sitting in. And that's why people tune in. But yeah, that'd be interesting. The one thing I know I would not be able to stand would be just, you know, the crazy McMansion type stuff.
Yeah,
something that drives both Pate and I crazy when we watch these renovating shows is huge wastes of space.
Yes.
Drives us nuts. Like, and that's probably the Maritimer mentality. Like, all of the houses around this city, with the exception of the new kind of suburbia, like I said, the McMansions, most of the older homes in the city that are more than 60 years old are small. You know, they're small kitchens, they're small living rooms, or a lot of times in the older homes, the kitchens are huge and everything else is tiny. Because everybody just has a kitchen party. Like, I mean, no matter where you are, it was always the warmest room in the house. You know, it's where all the food is. So that's where everybody just gathered, right?
Right.
But they're very different. Like, I mean, gosh, my dad would have to correct me on this, but the house that I grew up in for 10 or 12 years of my life was probably only 1,300 square feet. Tops.
I don't say the house I grew up, most of my teenage years was in, was only 900 square feet.
That small. Wow.
Yeah. It was four rooms.
Yeah. But that's Maine though. I mean, that's because, I mean, that's going to be very similar, you know, in terms of the original settling, you know, working values, you know, to Nova Scotia. Same idea, fishermen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. Well, I guess we can get to the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And that is that you and I, over the last week or so, have both seen Deadpool.
Yes, we have.
And I want to give our audience a heads up that the first little bit of this, we are going to go spoiler free. We're going to give you our 2 cents of what we thought of the movie and not really spoil anything. But Lou and I were talking pre-show, and there's really no way to talk about Deadpool without really getting into spoilers about some of our fun favorite moments and stuff like that. So we'll warn you again, but this section is going to have Deadpool spoilers in it before long. So maybe you want to tune out now. Maybe you want to tune out when I say, all right, it's spoiler in time. For now, let's just talk about, you know, kind of our general consensus on Deadpool. And then from there, we can let people know when to tune out if they have not seen it yet.
Definitely. And we can say a lot of stuff without spoiling too much.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my first question for you is, how extensive is your experience with Deadpool as a comic book character?
Well, and this is why I wanted to do this particular show with you. Okay. Is because I know that you are a Deadpool fan, and it's not like I am not a fan, but I know very little about him other than the general knowledge that I have just accumulated through pop culture. I knew what his powers were in general. I didn't know how he got them.
And the movie takes a little liberties, but it's very similar.
And I also didn't know any of the other really comic relationships he might have with other heroes other than... fan art that I see from comic artists that I follow on places like DeviantArt and some other art sites and stuff like that. Run-ins with other artists like Scotty Young and Derek Laufman. Like, I've seen what those guys have done with Deadpool in some of their art. And like that kind of stuff is where I know it from. You know, like, I know he's a wisecracker. Like, I've seen enough clips, but I've never read a full Deadpool comic. What else have I not really done? Oh, I guess technically I know a little bit about him from the Wolverine movie.
Yeah. The terrible Wolverine.
Yeah.
Movie.
Yeah. It's not good. It's not good.
It's awful.
But yeah, but you know, like but you get little tastes and I have to say, like, after seeing Deadpool, I feel like I've seen bits of Deadpool in a lot of other movies now.
Yes.
If that makes any sense.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So I come to it pretty clean, like,
and
pretty,
I would
blind.
Say, I've been a huge fan of his before people even knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
I remember way back in the mid '90s, Marvel was trying to get people to subscribe to comics, and they were offering a deliver to your house service, where you signed up for, I think it was, you paid $25 per comic, and they mailed them right to your house.
Wow.
And it was, you got 12 issues for like $25 or whatever. And the deal was, is if you signed up for 4, you got a 5th for free. And I did the X-Men. There was a Gambit comic at the time. And at the bottom, I didn't know what to pick for my fifth free one, and Deadpool was the one they were offering. And this was back when Deadpool was like in issue 6 or 7.
Right.
And I went, Deadpool, huh? I don't know who this guy is, but it says it's a funny comic. All right, I guess I'll pick that as my free one. And in the end, it ended up being the comic that I let all the others lapse and just kept renewing Deadpool every year. And so I ended up getting Deadpool sent to my house for like 5 or 6 years. And so I have a surplus of the comics. And then I fell off like most people do. I didn't keep up with it. But I've picked up trades over the time. And he's been my favorite character for the longest time. And then when his popularity started showing up in like mainstream culture, and they're like, oh yeah, Deadpool. I was like, wait, I'm not the only person that knows who this guy is anymore?
Yeah, I come at it from just pop culture. So if I was to go and read some Deadpool comics, like where would I start now?
Okay, my suggestion for anybody that wants to start is there's the most recent set of trades. There's 4 trades. I would start with what's called the Deadpool Complete Collection by Daniel Way. And it is like the first, it's like a year's worth of Deadpool from like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And it's a complete, each 3 or 4 issues is a complete story arc with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like self-contained stories.
Oh, wow.
And they all take place in the bigger Marvel universe. Like at one point, he's working for Nick Fury, and Nick Fury has hired him to steal something from the Skrulls.
Right.
And in the meantime, while that adventure's going on, he ends up teaming up with the Skrulls, and the Skrulls decide they're going to try and duplicate his abilities. And they find out that duplicating his abilities also means you duplicate his mentality. So they all start losing their minds and killing themselves.
Hmm.
And they're like, and the ones that are in charge are like, wait a minute, this isn't right. We need to get rid of this guy. And in the meantime, he tries to give all the information about the Skrulls back to Nick Fury. And that leads to its second arc. It gets stolen by Norman Osborn. And so Nick Fury refuses to pay him for the job. And so he spends the next 4 issues tracking down Norman Osborn to try and make him pay him. I worked for Fury and you stole the data. Now he won't pay me. Now you have to pay me. And Norman Osborn sends like hitmen after him and stuff. He's like, no, just pay me and I'll go away. It's easier for you to pay me.
Nice. I was looking at this. I looked it up on the Daniel Way volume on Amazon. I was like, wow, this is $40, but it's 400 and something pages.
I would say it's extensive. It's like 200-300 pages.
Yeah. Least. Yeah. No, this is 472 pages. I mean, some of that might be extras cause it's a big volume, but still.
Yeah. That's and right. I got it at my local comic book shop for $20.
Right on.
So, I mean, I'm cheap, but you can definitely find it. And if you enjoyed the movie, I would definitely pick it up. The first arc is him and Wolverine having a duel for like 4 issues.
Nice.
It's very funny. Because Wolverine is like, will you just go away? And he's like, no, I've been hired to kill you.
Yeah. Jeez. It's funny. I should say it's $37 Canadian, which does work out probably to be about $20 American
right now.
Yeah. Cool. I do want to check it out. I might pick up a couple of like, I should have done it earlier because I can check to see now, but I get email from Comixology because I've got an account there and I've bought some Batman comics and stuff. And leading up to the movie, Comixology had all kinds of Deadpool stuff on sale. I just didn't have time. I didn't know which ones to get. So I was waiting to talk to you about it. So maybe I'll go and see if Comixology still has the sale on and maybe I'll spend like $1 or 2, $4, pick up a couple of single issue arcs. And if I like them, then I'll go maybe buy a trade. People seem to like he's got a huge following.
He does, and it seems to come out of nowhere. I've been a huge fan of, like I said, I've been a huge fan of his since the mid-90s, and then all of a sudden, sometime in the last like 5 to 10 years, all of a sudden it was like Deadpool, 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 and I'd see him in cosplay at things and I'd be like, how am I not the only one that knows who this character is anymore? He used to be very obscure and nobody knew who he was.
Yeah, I'm wondering if maybe some of the appeal, like his type of humor is really big right now.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah. I mean, some of the funniest moments from cosplay videos at any convention involve someone doing Deadpool RP.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, yep. There was one hilarious moment. I don't remember what con. I'm sure if you look this up, you'll be able to find the GIF. But it's a little kid, probably around 6 or 7, dressed up as, what's his face there from Star Wars? Revan? No. Why am I blanking on the new guy from Star Wars? Ben Solo.
Wow. Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren. Yeah. So Kylo Ren's got his, you know, crazy bladed lightsaber out as a 7-year-old, and he's beating the tar out of a cardboard box. Like, he's basically having one of those tantrums that you see in the movie.
Yeah.
And Deadpool walks in the back, like, walks by in the background, looks up at this little 7-year-old, and then, like, does the 180 and just kind of walks out of the scene immediately.
Yep.
Like, it's just brilliant, but it doesn't feel like it's staged. It probably was, but it doesn't feel like it's staged. It just feels like somebody in a Deadpool, like, unitard that just isn't, just thinking all day long, there are cameras everywhere. What can I do?
Yes.
That's just going to make people's day, right? You know, and I think that would be hilarious to do. You'd have to be very careful at a convention, because if you get too crazy away with your foul language, there might be kids around and parents might get kind of pissed off, but.
And that is one thing this movie does not shy away from.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I get before we've been going on about, like, who Deadpool is for a while, but short of it, folks, I really like the movie as someone who has zero idea, you know, who Deadpool was really, and as far as the grand scheme of things, it was a fun film. It's great action. It's good comedy. It's Ryan Reynolds. If you've seen him in anything, then you kind of know what to expect there. There were some twists and turns that I wasn't expecting. So it does keep you on your toes. It's not cookie cutter. There's also a lot of stuff that is cookie cutter, but not in a bad way. It's cookie cutter in the fact that if you went to go see an action movies in the 80s, you would know what you want and you would be happy if you got it. And that's kind of what you get with this.
I think the best way to explain it is the average superhero movie now has a budget of about 150 to 200 million. Mm-hmm. And this movie had a budget of 50 million.
Really?
And that's it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And at every turn, they tried to do stuff, and the studio just went, no, that costs too much money. Find another way. and there is something we will explain later. I saw a comment in your notes here, and there is an answer to your question about guns, and that had to do with budget.
Nice. All right. I'm on board. I think that's really cool. The casting for it was great. I mean, it's not a spoiler to say that Ryan Reynolds is basically made for a wisecracking superhero, right? I mean, like, yes. that's kind of part of the course.
It didn't work for Green Lantern, but it works for this character because that's what he's supposed to be.
Yeah, although, I mean, Green Lantern is that too. Like, Hal Jordan is supposed to be a cocky, mouthy son of a bitch, right?
Right.
Like, he's not mean.
But not to the extent of...
No, probably not. No, I think Green Lantern, the movie, I don't fault anything Reynolds did for that particular movie. I think it was just bad writing coupled with a bad guy that was not threatening at all.
I would say he has been on record saying that was probably the worst experience he's ever had making a film.
Oh, I can imagine. And the thing that you have to remember too, like, before you slam an actor about a bad movie or even a bad performance in a movie, is like, these guys are locked into pre, then film, and then post. Like, even if it's a festering turd, they're obligated by contract to praise it and sell it and try to get people in the seats, right?
Promoting this, he said that the experience with Green Lantern was they asked him if he wanted to do Green Lantern, and he said yes before he even had seen the script, and that if he had seen the script, he never would have done it.
Wow, interesting.
So
interesting. Did he have a part in writing the script, do you know, for Deadpool?
Yes.
Nice.
He was involved with the script. He was involved. He was an executive producer on this. This was pretty much him and the director. This was their idea.
That explains a lot.
And this all came from a leak 3 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
And his most recent interview to promote this movie, they said that the video was done. The studio set it on a shelf and said, that's nice, but we can't sell this. And they all kept saying, there was 5 of them involved, they all kept saying, this will sell. And the studio kept saying, we're not going to take the risk. It's going to sit on a shelf. And one of them leaked it to the internet, and in his most recent interview, he said he's 70% sure it wasn't him.
Hmm.
Which was his joke, you know. he may have done it, but he's not going to admit it. And to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if it was him.
Yeah, no, I at a certain point, like, leaking footage just gets you more press. Like, it's not really a bad thing. I just, there's always some snooty executive that gets their, you know, knickers in a knot over stuff like that. But I, you know, all of it's just going to gain attention. I mean, as we cruise towards the saturation point for superhero movies, I mean, like, I feel like
it's
there's
starting
a
superhero, to get bad.
Yeah, there's a superhero movie coming out like every 3 months for the next 4 years or something crazy.
Yeah.
Some of them I'm excited about. You know, some of them I think are going to be really neat, especially if they're new movies, like Doctor Strange, like that that kind of stuff. Like, I'm very curious about that kind of thing. But,
and I know you were a little skeptical about this in the trailers.
Yeah, and my criticism for that is, while I really appreciate that the trailers kept their clips very concise, so there's a lot in this movie that's not in the trailer. There's just, there's so much dialogue, there's so many situations, and there's so much back and forth in terms of, like, the way they tell the story in time, that the trailers just really don't, the trailers make it look like a very linear adventure, and it's not.
And it's not. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
It does lots of time jumps, lots of back and forth.
Yeah.
And I think they had to do that.
Yeah. The issue that I have is, like, something like the Batman Superman trailers, I feel like I've seen the whole damn movie. Like, they've taken a lot of calm beats, they've taken a lot of dialogue beats, there's a lot of setup beats, there's a lot of action beats, and it's like, you just, you get this feeling that they've pulled those clips from all, you know, 160 minutes or whatever of that film. Whereas this one, and again, this isn't a spoiler, but the two trailers I saw
are all bridge sequence.
Yeah. There are scenes that you watch and that's it. Like, I mean, the trailer is that 2 minute clip of the movie from beginning to end. And that's all it is. The problem that I have with that, it's less of an issue than with Batman and Superman, but is that when that happened in the movie, I then knew what the next 2 minutes were going to be.
Yes.
Right. And then I was like, oh, okay, well, this doesn't have, it's like, well, all right, this is funny. And then I'm thinking, like, you know, this is some of the funnier moments from this act. It's kind of too bad that I've seen it three or four times as a trailer before experiencing it here in the theater. Whereas if they had just taken a couple of quips or something like that, this, I feel like they put some of their best material in the trailer, and maybe they felt they had to get people in the seats and stuff like that. But it's still, there's still a lot more in the movie. I mean, still go see it, folks. If you like the trailer, you will love the movie.
Yeah, the movie is really like the trailer times 10.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's basically the trailer on steroids. But yeah, there's a couple points where I'm like, oh, well, I've seen this whole thing. Like, oh, for example, the trailer where, I can't remember her name, the teenage warhead.
Teenage nuclear warhead. Megasonic teenage warhead.
Thank you. Mouthful. Hilarious name. They never explain it.
And I didn't know, she's one of the few X-Men characters I didn't know who she was.
Yeah, no, exactly. And some comments about that in the movie too.
Yeah.
So that trailer where she tweets and he's like commenting, oh no, finish your tweet. Like, and then go punch the bad guy. Like that, I really wish I hadn't known about that before I saw it in the film. Cause that is that's a gem of a moment. That whole build up fight sequence is just wicked.
Yes.
And I kind of wish that I hadn't seen anything other than maybe a couple of action beats from that in a trailer. And then I could have gone and had that dialogue experience for the first time, because some of the gems of the movie are his interaction with the X-Men. So, I mean, my 2 cents is that, you know, Reynolds is good. I enjoyed that. Some of the other casting is kind of iffy. But beyond that, I mean, I'd say that it's a good general action movie. And I feel like we have to kind of move into spoilers soon, because I'm starting to hold back.
Yes. The one thing I will say is his name, the actor's name is Ed Skrein. You would recognize him from Game of Thrones. He was in a few episodes as he was the original what's his name? He was the mercenary that fought for Daenerys. Velaryon.
For Daenerys.
They replaced him.
Yeah. And he was the original one?
He was the original one. The guy that was the guy that played Ajax.
It really?
Yes. That was the same actor. I'm not a big fan of his.
No. He doesn't even look the same.
That's the same guy. He was in Game of Thrones.
He was the guy with like the long curly hair.
Yes. That's the same guy. They've funny. Also made him the transporter in the most recent Transporter movie.
Oh, I heard that was terrible.
It's awful. But I don't know why, but I mean, he was okay in this, but I just feel like he's being force-fed to us by Hollywood, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it's like, what's his face there from The Lone Ranger?
Yes.
The guy that played the Winklevoss
Army Hammer
twins.
Or yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the spy movie, and you're just like, no, go away. Like, just.
I don't know who this guy is, and why do you keep trying to make
go
me watch?
Go find a home on television or something, because you're not leading man material.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow. I had no idea. I mean, I guess that's usually a good thing, I guess, for an actor to be in a role and have people not bring the other thing that they've seen him in.
When we saw it in theaters, Erica looked at me and went, why is the bad guy familiar? And I went, Game of Thrones, he was the original, whatever that guy's name was. And she went, oh, that's right. And then they replaced him with that better guy. And I went, yeah. And she's like, yeah, I don't like him in this.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Interesting. All right. Well, let's go into some spoilers here. So folks, if you're listening, go see Deadpool. And if you have seen Deadpool, keep listening. Because now we get to talk about stuff that we have seen in the movie, and we are going to spoil it for you if you have not. So if you care, pull the earbuds out now. That has been enough of a warning, I think. This movie was hilarious. Some of the vulgar shit that he says.
Yes.
Oh my God. Something that stuck with me, pardon the pun, was shit spackled Muppet fart. Like, you can't make this shit up. Oh my God. Gosh, like my inner monologue for the next hour after that film was vulgar. Oh yes. My God. Like, I mean, and it didn't help that I was riding home on the bus at rush hour with a bunch of teenagers on it. Like, I mean, the amount of shit that I wanted to say to them, oh my, it was ridiculous. It really was super, super fun. He does and says all of the things that you want to do and say and gets away with it.
Yes, and it starts that way. I mean, It starts with him in the cab, and I think it's been 2 weeks since I saw it. I saw it opening night.
Yeah, it starts in the cab. Yeah.
Okay. And you're like, okay. And then it cuts right to him starting the story about like where it begins and him meeting the girlfriend, which I can't remember her name at the moment.
I don't remember I know it's Marina Baccarini.
Vanessa.
Actor. Vanessa, thank you.
Yeah. And it starts with him talking about how he met her, and it's him taking out like the harassment. Some teenage girl has a boy harassing her. So he shows up at his pizza route and hijacks him at the pizza thing. And he's not even Deadpool at that point. He is Wade Wilson. And you're like, okay, so he's starting off harassing people and he's not even Deadpool yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I like how they set that up. I mean, like there's very quickly you learn, like, he's basically a mercenary. He's,
he was drummed out of the military.
Forces. Yeah. You know, he's had some different stuff going on, but they start him off without superpowers as a badass anyway. Right.
Yeah.
So then he just becomes basically indestructible and his attitude just kind of expands.
Right.
You know, beyond, they've spent a lot of time on the relationship with him and Vanessa. I don't know necessarily that it needed it. It led to some funny moments, but.
I liked her, and I thought that she was a tough guy. Like, in the movie, like, she's never plays the weak woman throughout the movie, which I thought was a nice touch.
Yeah, true.
She literally, at one point, she clubs Ajax over the head. And you're like, okay, so she's not just standing around for Deadpool to save her. She's going to save herself if she can.
Yeah, no, and they didn't write her that way. The problem that I have is that I adore Marina Baccarini. Like, she's...
Yeah.
Wow, such a good actor, such brave roles that she's taken over the years. There's just something about her that I don't find her convincing as like a hooker, stripper, bad girl.
I agree with you completely.
She does the whole damsel in distress, and she does the whole not damsel in distress very well. But she still is very, it sounds awful. She's very wholesome, like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Which isn't, you know, like, she feels...
They put her in some... interesting outfits in this. And at some point I was like, no, no, no. She needs to be in a pair of jeans and a t-shirt and patting him on the head. This doesn't make sense.
She's even if, I mean, she can still be sexy and she can still be angry and still be threatening and stuff like that. But she's from the right side of the tracks, no matter what.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's typecasting, I guess, but I didn't really feel the whole bad girl thing. And what I liked about the writing around some of that was that Wade and Vanessa do this thing where they try to one-up one another with lies about how desperately terrible their crack-ridden, molesting uncle kind of history has been. Neither one of them are going to really tell the truth about why they're so messed up. So they just make this stuff up to try to one-up each other.
Yep.
And so you really have to, like, so you're thinking, like, well, maybe she isn't a hooker. Maybe she just said she was a hooker. Right, so they kind of skirt around it that way,
They do skirt around it because she does work in a strip club.
Mm-hmm.
But and they show that.
But she's not a stripper.
As far as we know, they never show her stripping.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, but they also kind of make it known that that's the kind of girl that Wade Wilson would want, right?
In the comic, that is he has various love interests throughout the comics. and they all tend to be of that type.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like, he basically does his living in the seedy underbelly of the city. So, I mean, I can get that he's going to be around those kind of people. I did not care for the comic relief, the bartender.
His character is from the comics. Weasel is his regular cohort, and he does, like, background and research for Deadpool. He's never been a character I'm very fond of.
Hmm.
I've always felt his role in the comic is very weak.
Yeah.
So I wasn't expecting much from his character in the movie. And he was okay. He has a couple of funny jokes, but he's really just there for Deadpool to bounce his jokes off of.
Yeah, yeah, like he's the other half of the conversation when the joke requires a conversation.
Right.
Yeah. I don't remember that actor's name, but he was in the latest Transformers movie too.
Yep, TJ Miller.
Yeah. He's the same guy in everything he does.
Yes, he is.
He's got no reach. And I should say that I am fully aware that Deadpool is full of stereotypes on purpose.
Yes.
Like, I get that. So I'm not complaining necessarily about that. There's a couple things about him that I wasn't so great on. But while we're talking about casting, though, the actress that plays Angel Dust, Gina Carano?
Yes. She's a former MMA fighter.
Yeah. Muay Thai boxing.
Yep.
And all kinds of, like, kickboxing and stuff.
And she's done some really great other movies.
I looked her up afterwards and she is real badass. Like, that, there's no getting around that. She didn't have to fake anything in this movie. We've talked about this on the show before, and I bring it up specifically because there's a certain number of shows that cast women in tough roles that shouldn't be in tough roles.
Yeah.
It's no fault of anybody's the casting director, where it just feels forced and doesn't work. Really good example. I can't remember her name, but the human thief in Shannara Chronicles. She's a very attractive young lady, and she's trying to play this tough thief, and it's not happening. There's no threat whatsoever. But Angel Dust in this movie is a very attractive woman that can kick the living snot out of you. Yes. And you don't for a moment question when she goes toe-to-toe with Colossus that...
And she throws him.
Yeah, that there's any kind of holding back or she's out of her element. She doesn't even have a super threatening voice. It's just her presence. Like, it's her screen presence is just there. Because there's a point, which is a hilarious moment in the movie, when Colossus and her are fighting, and essentially her breast comes out. They don't show it, but he's covering it with his hand, and he's being very gallant about the whole thing,
yes.
And saying, like, oh, sorry, you need you're out on the left there, yeah. And so she thanks him, tucks her boob back in, and then punches him and sends him clear across the junkyard.
Yeah.
And But when she says, oh, thank you, she's a very sweet voice. Like, it's not like she's trying to act tough and talk like all growly right. and gruff or something like that. I mean, she frowns for a lot of the movie, but yeah. that's it. And she was brilliant. It was awesome to see a really tough, strong woman and someone who's not a twig, you know, in a role where her character is supposed to be super strong and a bitch. And it totally worked. It was amazing.
Yeah, I was really excited to see her in it. If you enjoyed her role in this, I recommend checking out a spy movie called Haywire.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. But let's just say Michael Fassbender's in it, and a whole bunch of Ewan McGregor's in it. A whole bunch of famous people are in it.
I feel like I've heard of this. And she's the lead.
And if you enjoyed her in this, watch that.
I've seen the poster.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it's on Netflix for us in
Canada. It probably is.
Huh. Interesting. The problem that I have right now is that Netflix is not showing me all of its content. It's just showing me what it thinks I want to watch.
Yes.
So I have to look things up by name now. Otherwise, yeah. I won't find them.
Yeah. I've gotten to the point now where I've seen so much stuff on Netflix, finding anything is a mess.
Yeah.
But... The Colossus, the guy they cast as Colossus, absolutely perfect.
Yeah, no,
he was.
Yeah, a little over the top with the Russian accent, but still, a little bit. Yeah,
but he nails what you expect Colossus to be, the big tough gentleman in Russian, and spends the entire movie trying to convince Deadpool not to kill people. Like, no, you don't need to kill them, and he's like, but they're gonna come back. And he's like, no.
Yeah, the thing about Colossus, I honestly think, and this is probably my personal taste in comedy, I found he was some of the funniest stuff in this movie.
Yes.
Like, his lines and his interactions with Deadpool were what got me laughing. The Deadpool one-liners and, like, the moose knuckle insults and all that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, we've seen so much of Ryan Reynolds and other things that none of that comes as a surprise.
Right.
The only surprising stuff for me was the level of violence in this movie. It's rough. Like, there's that car chase, people get screwed up. Like, it's not just death. It's like when the guy hit the highway sign. Like, he hit that sign and went to jello. Like, it was, it's not like I herked or anything in the theater, but I definitely out loud said, woof. Like,
yeah. And God. When he opens that guy's mouth and he stuffs a cigarette lighter in it, and you're like, and you're like, I wouldn't even have thought to do that. Like,
yeah. Like, I have to, are the comics like that? Are they that over the top? Oh my
yes.
God. Like that.
Like, there's, like I said, the Daniel Wade one, the beginning ends up, the first issue is him and Wolverine are in a fight. There's been a contract put out on Wolverine, and Deadpool's decided he wants to collect. And the opening scene is Wolverine goes and ducks into like a department store to hide. And there's like an elevator in the department store, and Deadpool dresses up as like, somebody is like an emergency EMT and is riding in the elevator and like, no, 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 sir, you can't get in the elevator. And like the combat, like fight break out. And it's like Deadpool is trying to not kill the police, but not because he doesn't want to, but because he doesn't want the headache. And it's like, I could just kill these guys, but I really don't want. I'm like, oh, damn it, Wolverine, just get back here so I can fight you. And everything with him is like that.
Yeah.
In the old classics, one of my favorite issues is somebody hires him to get the rhino, the horn off of Rhino. And he spends the entire issue chasing Rhino down, trying to cut the horn off Rhino. And Rhino is like, I'll just give you a chunk of the horn. Go away. And that's how it ends.
Jeez. Yeah. I just really, the fight, some of the fight scenes were like really impeccable for, because you're kind of, the mood is set from the very beginning. You're like, okay, this is a kickback. This is a fun film. I mean, Deadpool breaks the fourth wall and tells you, the audience, what's going on and talks to you, makes references to other shitty movies that Ryan Reynolds has been in. Like, it just, yes. There's all kinds of really fun stuff that happens. But the, when it comes down to it, there's a couple of scenes, not when they do the slow motion stuff, that I feel like has been overdone, but some of the fight scenes are bloody wicked. Like you kind of wish that this was how Captain America and Iron Man would take down some guys, not necessarily to kill them, but like the level of precision and speed and filming and choreography and everything was just like it, because he's killing people. There's not this long drawn out fist fight until somebody gets knocked out. Like, it's just like, whap, whap, I cut off your arm, and then the guy's in shock, and that's it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you have to remember the little hand. When he wants to get away from Colossus, and he cuts off his own
hand. Yeah, he cuts his hand off. So here's the issue that I have with that, unfortunately. I did not know what was happening, having never known about that kind of stuff with Deadpool, and I really had to go to the bathroom. So I actually left the theater at that point. I saw him cut his hand off, but the scene, I lost most of the scene when he was in the apartment with, what's her face from Star Trek?
That's not woman from Star Trek.
Is it not?
It's not.
Wow, it looked like her.
It looks like her, but that's another famous woman. She's a famous singer, I believe.
Gosh, that's awful. I can't believe I made that mistake.
That's Leslie Uggams.
Huh. Okay.
I can't. She was in Roots back in the 70s.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah. But no, what you missed basically is he wanders around the house talking to her, and his hand is growing back, and it starts out as a little hand, and he asks her to leave him alone because he needs to be alone with his little hand because he needs to get used to his little hand.
Jeez. See, and that's the kind of thing. Like, I mean, it's kind of smirk funny, but I don't find any of the masturbation jokes or any of the really kind of gross out humor funny. I found some of the insults funny in that they're so, like, after you call someone some bad names that are pretty generic for some of the movie, like, you're kind of out of ammo until
he starts talking and he gives you some names and things that he calls people. Well, you wouldn't even think to,
like, Muppet fart, like, you know, like stuff like that, right? I mean, that's the kind of thing that I find very funny, because then you're like, oh my god, did he really just say that? Like, that kind of stuff really kind of warms you up for.
And I have to say, this is my favorite cameo of Stan Lee so far,
and potentially his only R-rated cameo.
I think it is.
Yeah. I mean, in the strip club. Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, because I made the mistaken identity of the lady in the apartment, I thought that was the cameo, but
nope.
Yeah. I mean, the opening credits when they run down, like, you know, the sidekick, the comedy relief, the cameo, like, I thought that was pretty good too.
Yep. And I know that you had a question about him forgetting his guns.
Right.
That was not intentional. That was the studio kept cutting their budget, and there was supposed to be a shootout at the end there when he shows up to get his girl back from Ajax.
Mm-hmm.
There was supposed to be a shootout there, and the studio at the last minute said, we really don't have the money to afford a shootout. And they said, fine, we'll just have him leave the guns on the suit in the cab, and we'll just have him cut everybody up.
Jeez. Like, it was still... It was funny, but at the same time, I was pretty disappointed.
Yes.
Like, I really, because some of the art, some of the fan art that I've seen is basically Deadpool holding so many guns, it's kind of unreal.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's the whole thing, is like, he's never got too many guns. It's always more guns, more guns.
Yes.
And so to see a Deadpool movie where there are basically no guns was weird.
And I think that will change with the sequel. I think we will definitely see more guns.
And I'm sure he'll address the fact that he's got a bigger budget this time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And my favorite joke in the whole movie is the one he makes about fourth wall breaking the fourth wall. And and he's like, that's like 16 walls. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Actually, Alistair in the chat room just pointed out one of my favorite jokes when he references X-Men, or someone's talking about X-Men, and he's like, Stewart or McAvoy? I don't know which one.
Yes.
Like, just, oh man. It's like, it's nice to think that in a world where the X-Men exist, the movies about the X-Men still exist.
Yes.
Right? Oh man. I wish they had a little bit more budget for Colossus. There was a lot of times where I basically looked at him like a giant cartoon, but he was still very enjoyable. He's a huge character. I didn't realize he was supposed to be so tall.
Yes, he's supposed to be like ginormous.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to increase in size when he changes too, I think.
See, in this, he was just always chrome. Like, he was always metal. Do you know to explain what Colossus's powers are?
His body turns to steel.
Oh, steel.
Like, he becomes a solid piece of steel.
Okay. Which would explain why when Deadpool punches him, he breaks everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was great, because that was one joke I wasn't expecting. And he punches him and breaks his hand, and then he kicks him and breaks his foot. And then he punches him with the other hand and breaks the other hand. And you're like, that's gotta hurt. Why would you keep doing that?
Yeah. That was one that was lost to me. Like, it was funny the first time, but I thought, all right, well, he's just gonna heal his hand. But I didn't really think that he was gonna keep on doing it. So, I don't know. There was a couple of things that it was just... There's a couple of over-the-top moments that, to me, were just kind of par for the course for Hollywood comedy writing these days, which is not, it's not something I'm fond of. It's the too far.
Yeah.
You know, it's the taking the gag, and it's like, all right, it's a funny gag. And then the second time it happens, all right, yeah, got it, funny gag. And then the third, the fourth, the fifth, he's like, okay, I am done with this. You can move on now. Like, that's where I kind of draw the line. But that only happened a couple times in the movie. It wasn't too bad. But yeah, I feel like, I really want to see Deadpool interact with other Marvel characters now.
And that's going to happen. This made them so much money. Expect him to make a cameo in whatever next X-Men movie they've made.
Yeah.
They've already stated that they want to do an X-Force comic, a movie which would be a Cable movie.
Okay.
And him and Cable are regular cohorts in the comics. There's an entire couple of runs where it's him and Cable trapped in alternate universes together, working together to try and find their way home type of thing.
Okay.
And they're already saying Cable will either be in the next Deadpool movie, or Cable and him will appear in the X-Force movie.
Well, that's what he said at the end of the trailer there.
Right.
He did the whole Ferris Bueller sort of thing.
But
I'm struggling to figure out who Cable is.
Cable is an aspect of 90s comics that's really kind of bad.
Okay.
When Terminator was at its height of popularity, X-Men decided that they needed to introduce a new mutant. So a mutant from the past comes to the future to prevent Apocalypse, I think. Or something like that. And his name is Cable. And he is Jean Grey and Cyclops' son. From the future.
And wait a minute, I thought you said he was from the past.
I mean, he's from the future that comes to the past.
Oh, okay.
Like in Terminator.
Right, okay, gotcha. Yeah, I think I've seen images of him.
He's just this big guy with a weird-looking eye.
Yeah.
And he's all gray-haired.
Gray-haired, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting him confused with another character that's very similar. Maybe... I feel like there was a take on him or something very similar in one of the Image comics I read in the 90s.
There is. There was.
Yeah.
In the 90s, there was a lot of those characters where it was like, no, we're going to rip off this guy. And then, no, we're going to rip off this guy.
Yeah. Well, and he just looks like, you know, badass soldier number 5.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of his biggest problem. But when you put him, he is supposed to be, his character is always dead serious. He's always focused on the goal. And they put him with Deadpool. Right. And it's like Deadpool making jokes and Cable being like, grow up, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And they work really well together in the comics.
I can see that.
So I'm hoping that that's what they do with the movie. Because as funny and as fun as this movie was, I don't think they can do it twice.
No, you need to have the straight man. And that was my main concern actually going into this. Was like, I like Ryan Reynolds. I like it when he's tempered. Like, I'd like it when he's in movies where there's funny moments, but also serious moments. He's a good actor.
Yes.
Thinking like Definitely Maybe and, that one with Sandra Bullock, The Proposal.
Yeah, like
both of those are pretty high on my list as far as good rom-coms, right? Because they do have some really funny moments, but they've also got some very somber ones because everything's balanced out. I was just concerned that like 2 hours of Ryan Reynolds all the time and as a character that is supposed to be just never shut up kind of stuff. I was worried it was going to get old. I found that to a certain extent it did in that I started to just tune out a lot of the dialogue.
Yeah.
But I still did not tire of it. It was just the sheer volume was, it's a lot to take in. Like, it's not a movie where you can just kind of sit back and watch. No, you really have to pay attention and you have to listen to everything. And that's the problem. I feel like there would probably be a lot that you, if you like the movie, I feel like a lot would be gained from a second viewing. I feel like you would be able to soak in a lot more of the dialogue, a lot more of the subtleties, probably a lot more Easter eggs and stuff you didn't see the first time.
I will say right now, I really want to go see it a second time, mostly because my theater experience the first time was actually really bad.
Oh, yeah? Did someone bring a kid?
The people sitting next to me, two kids.
What an...
And they were like 8 and 7. And their father brought them, and he was there with the mother. And you could tell that the father knew what to expect, and the mother didn't.
Oh, man.
And at every turn, the mother was like, we need to leave. And the father was like, it's fine. And the kids were enjoying themselves. Like, I think there were a lot of jokes that went over the kids' head.
Yeah.
But I think the kids were mature enough to get it. And I think the mother was just like, I don't think she was expecting what she got.
No. That's the kind of thing that you just, you're going to ruin the experience for other people in the theater.
Yeah.
You're going to cause more trouble for yourself when you get home.
Yeah.
Like, and not to mention, I don't care what kind of relationship you have with your 8-year-old. That was not a movie for an 8-year-old. Like, forget the language. They're going to hear worse on the school ground. It's the violence that would get me uncomfortable.
I will say, my parents had no boundaries for me as a kid. I could watch whatever film I wanted as long as I was mature enough to handle the content. And as long as I didn't freak out when bad things happened and I treated it with respect. And, I mean, I saw RoboCop in the theaters at 6.
Yeah. That freaked me out when I was 10 when I saw it in home video.
And I saw it in theaters with my mother, my father, and my dad was like, look at that. That guy just got liquefied. And I was like, yeah, that was not what I was expecting from this movie, Dad.
Yeah. I was expecting a robot cop. Where the hell is the robot cop, Dad?
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. Well, I don't know. Where can we wrap up on Deadpool? I mean, obviously, go see it if you're a fan of the comics. I feel like it was probably pretty true.
If you're looking for something different for a superhero movie, this is it.
Yeah. It's definitely funny. There's lots of great action. The bad guy is lackluster, but Deadpool steals the show, so it really doesn't matter. I wish he had gone up against Angel Dust. Like, that would have been really funny.
Well, the thing is, to be honest, there was supposed to actually be another villain. The original script had him wrapping up Ajax on the bridge, and him finding out that Ajax wasn't the guy behind it. There was another villain behind it. But the budget was cut so much, they had to just make it Ajax the whole movie.
Yeah. So before we go, who are the main villains for Deadpool in the comics?
Anybody. He fights with everybody.
Right. But not just fights with, but like who are the real villains?
He's gone up against Thanos before.
Okay.
And won. He usually ends up fighting X-Men villains.
Okay.
Or Spider-Man villains. He's teamed up with Spider-Man on several occasions.
I see a lot of fan art with him in Spider-Man.
There is a run of the comic where he tries to team up with Spider-Man because he sees Spider-Man gets a lot of love. He wants to learn to do it without killing people. Nice. And at every turn, he's trying to teach Spider-Man to kill people. And Spider-Man's like, no. Wait, you cannot stab people. He's like, but it's so much easier that way.
Yeah. Well, case in point, that's exactly how the fight scenes felt in this film were easy, right?
Yes.
Like, not easy to make, but they just felt like they flowed, right? Because when he was finished with one guy, you didn't have to worry about that guy getting back up because he had no head. Just like the point at the end of the movie when Ajax, the villain, his real name is
Francis. I love that joke.
Which is hilarious. But when he spells out his name in Dead Henchman, like, I was not expecting that. Like, I thought that was pretty good. I want to see more from the Teenage Warhead character. I thought she was a lot of fun too. There's so many X-Men, and I only know the main ones. Like, I only know the movie X-Men. So I would love to see a good movie with some like other tiered X-Men in it.
Yeah. And there's so many X-Men. Like, I can think of a dozen X-Men that just have, like, bit parts. Like, there's Dazzler and Jubilee and, like, these X-Men that just don't go anywhere. And I know that with this movie's budget, that was why they got Negasonic Teenage Warhead. They weren't allowed to take any X-Men that would be in an upcoming movie. That was what they were told when they started production on this. Is you cannot take anybody. They went, well, is Colossus going to be in an updated movie? And they're like, no, but I guess we can let you have him. And they're like, and they picked Negasonic because of her name. That she was literally picked for the joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. Does she have a nickname in the comics, or is it just...
I don't know, because I didn't know who she was. I had to look her up.
Yeah, I imagine they probably call her Warhead a lot of times. Yeah. I mean, you know, because even the acronym doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't flow off the tongue, right? Well, I guess we can move into the Internet Minute as soon as my show notes come back up. I love you, Google Docs. Oh, my God. The spinning just... Man, it's frustrating when you're trying to do a podcast and the free, you know, WordPressing document that Google provides for you just doesn't work. Anyway, the Internet Minute is brought to you by Tweaked Audio. You can go to tweakedaudio.com for high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds. Use the code TCC at checkout for 30% off your entire order and free shipping. And that code, again, is TCC. The website is tweakedaudio.com. I'm just going to rip through these pretty quick because we got to get you out of here for Zombies Ate My Podcast coming up next. But Atlas, the next generation of robots from Boston Dynamics, is a video that's on the internet that is terrifying.
Yeah, and it's making headlines everywhere.
Oh my gosh. You have to be under a rock if you haven't seen this week. But hell no. Like, there's something really cool about it and something extraordinarily creepy about it. And maybe it's just the amount of sci-fi that I have watched in my life, but I really... in my brain took it to the next level where instead of the robot being poked by the hockey stick, the robot grabs the hockey stick.
Yeah.
Right. Like my brain went there immediately. And it's, it's really neat. The kind of things that we're accomplishing in real life, not just Hollywood, not CG animation, but like real robots. But man,
it's done creepy. By Boston Dynamics. And I have to say right now, I have to talk to my father-in-law, because my father-in-law works for a company that designs submarines called Electric Boat, and they are owned by a company, a national company called General Dynamics, and I believe they own Boston Dynamics. I think it's a division of the company my father-in-law works for.
Wow.
So I need to find out.
Yeah, it is definitely an interesting look at what's happening with robotics. They're getting smaller, faster, more stable, able to do more things. And I don't know. I'm not super fond of it. There's something really creepy about it, especially because it's mostly military application, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
This looked like it was being designed to stack boxes in a warehouse kind of thing.
Yeah. But at some point, too, like you have to kind of worry about jobs and that kind of thing. I read an article recently. I don't remember who wrote it because it was quite some time ago. It was one of those things that flows by on Medium. It's like a 4-minute read. But they were saying that, you know, if you want your kids to have an absolutely foolproof future as far as being employed, they were pushing creative. They were pushing art, music, acting.
Yep.
Those kind of things. Because... We're so far from robots replacing that stuff. But as far as like engineering and like some of the other, the more menial stuff, there are a lot of jobs out there that are potentially going to be replaced by robots. I mean, they're thinking like down the line, but still, like, I mean, maintaining, it was an interesting, as a creative person myself, it was like, yeah, you know what? There's the one thing that a robot can't do is the creative stuff that I do right now.
Exactly.
You know, for a long time to come, as far as I can tell. And I thought that was kind of an interesting take on it. But yeah, so that's my pick. Freaky, crazy robots with hockey sticks. Well, not yet, but very close. What's your pick this week, man?
I have an interesting pick that just showed up today. If you go over to the Humble Book Bundle over at humblebundle.com, today they made a deal with the people at Paizo, who make Pathfinder, which is like a D&D spinoff role-playing game. They are selling about $500 worth of books in PDF form for $20.
Wow.
So if you're interested in playing like a D&D for really, really cheap, this is the PDFs. You can put them on your Kindle, put them on your iPad, and read the books. And all you have to do is buy them on the site and create a Paizo account over on Paizo's website. You can re-download them as many times as you want. They're yours forever.
Wow.
I will say I bought them tonight before we did the show. Expect downloads to be slow and the server to be slammed. They've put up a warning on their website already that they didn't expect it to sell as fast as it is, and their servers are being overloaded.
Wow. Well, at least they're letting people know.
Yeah. So they said, so please be patient.
Interesting. So the last time that I played tabletop D&D, which actually we talked about last week on the show, I had the D&D version 5 handbook on my tablet with me. And as a new player, it was really cool because I would come up on a situation or somebody in the group would do something with an ability that they knew and had used before. But rather than stopping the play and asking, what the hell are you doing? I could just look it up.
And you can literally put search for and what's the spell they're using? Okay.
Yeah.
And bam, it takes you right to that page.
Yeah, yeah. There's no indexing and all that kind of stuff. You can just do a quick search for it in a PDF and you're there. It was very, very handy and made me feel more included. Like I felt more part of the experience and I didn't feel like I was taking everybody out of the game being the new guy asking a bunch of questions.
And I should say, for anybody that's not familiar, Pathfinder is based on D&D. And during the third edition of D&D, the 3.5 edition, rather... when D&D went to 4th edition, they made an open source version of the license for the rules, and Paizo stepped in, and people were really unhappy with 4th edition, so Paizo stepped in and said, no, we're going to continue to support the 3.5 edition and make our own universe and make our own rules, and we're going to change up some of the rules, and we're going to do a bunch of stuff, and they started putting out their books, and they started cleaning Wizards of the Coast's lunch when it came to D&D. Until this new 5th edition.
Yeah.
So this is a lot of stuff. Like, this is a crazy amount of books.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
it's like 27 books in this collection.
That's crazy. I'll have to send that to her. I've got a friend that's designing a tabletop RPG right now. Just for something like a hobby, something to do.
Yeah. This is definitely something to send them.
Cool. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of The Citadel Cafe. We record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on thecitadelcafe.com. Our mobile audio stream was provided by alphageekradio.com, and the music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com or find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. You can also find us by name on Patreon. That's patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. If you would like to put some value back into the show, I would very much appreciate it. And as a reward, you get to hang out with all the cool patrons in the Slack chat. We've been talking a lot about what's happening with Marvel and Marvel on television, Netflix, Deadpool, all kinds of really cool stuff. So if you want to be a part of that, check out Patreon at patreon.com/thecitadelcafe and consider becoming a patron. You can find me at joelduggan.com and everything I do that includes my design and illustration portfolio. If you're interested in hiring me, just send me an email. My email is right there on the site. And I am currently working on a new star-crossed comic. It is currently in pencil form on my desk. It's coming, people. I'm sorry it's been a while, but I am working on it. You can also follow me on Twitter with just my name, Joel Duggan. Lou, where can people find you online?
The easiest place to find me is on Twitter. I am at BusyZombieLord, and I usually post about all the things I do. But I also co-host Zombies Ate My Podcast, which will be coming up soon if you're listening.
Yeah, so stay in touch with Alpha Geek Radio tonight, folks, because Lou's going to be coming back at you in about 10 minutes. You've been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
This podcast recorded before a live internet audience. To learn how to listen and watch live, visit tunein.alphageekradio.com.